We delay the program scheduled for this period to bring you a special news report direct from Mutual's war correspondent Gordon Walker on Guam. Go ahead, Gordon Walker, at Advanced Fleet Headquarters in the Pacific.
This is Gordon Walker reporting from Fleet Headquarters on Guam. Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet is still somewhere off northern Japan and is today continuing airstrikes against the home islands of Honshu and Hokkaido. It has just been announced here at Admiral Nimitz Headquarters that the Japanese can also expect more bombardment today from naval surface ships. Thus, the Third Fleet goes into its second day of smashing attacks aimed at tightening the blockade of Japan and destroying Japan's resources. Meanwhile, preliminary reports of damage done in yesterday's air assaults have just come in from the fleet. Admiral Halsey states that only 24 Japanese aircraft were destroyed on the ground and another 62 damaged. But while Japan's Air Force remains in hiding, it is apparent that Halsey's carrier pilots found a good chunk of enemy shipping yesterday. Admiral Halsey reports that 15 ships of varying size were sunk and another 24 damaged. 10 small cargo ships were included in those sunk. Damage was inflicted on a dozen or so small cargo ships, transports, four medium tankers, a couple of destroyer escorts, and a few smaller craft. But the most significant damage done in yesterday's carrier plane assault was to the vital communication line between Hokkaido and Honshu. The only link between these two Jap home islands is a 65-mile-long seagoing ferry service. And it is over this ferry that Japan gets a big portion of its food as well as other resources. Hokkaido's coal, iron, and food come down the island to the little port of Hokodate by railroad. Then the trains are put aboard the ferries, each of which carry about 25 loaded freight cars over to Honshu. There are believed to be only about five of these massive ferries, all specially built to fit into the docks at either end of the sea line. Yesterday, Admiral Halsey's plane sank two of these ferries and damaged another. Thus, in one stroke, half of the main communication line between Hokkaido and Honshu was knocked out. Admiral Halsey reported this morning that adverse weather hampered yesterday's operations, but he turned in a pretty good record. If he can finish the job of smashing this ferry link between Honshu and Hokkaido, it'll be many months before the Japanese can put it back into operation. And it'll be some time before the Japanese can repair damage which was inflicted by carrier planes on dock and railroad yards at Hokodate, which is Hokkaido's main port. This is Gordon Walker, Christian Science Monitor correspondent, reporting from Fleet Headquarters on the island of Guam. I return you to Mutual in the United States.
That was Gordon Walker reporting direct from Guam for Mutual. We bring you now the program originally scheduled.
Roger. Standing by.
Admiral Nimitz has just issued the following communique. Today, a bombardment group comprising some of the most powerful battleships of the United States Pacific Fleet opened fire on the steelworks and other military objectives at the seaport city of Mururan in southern Hokkaido. This action is continuing at the present time. Among the ships of the force now bombarding the port are USS Iowa, the USS Missouri, and the USS Wisconsin.
Yes, he didn't even get a return cue, I guess. He got gummed up. He started by habit to give his name, and that threw him off. It is short. Here comes the recording now. Recorded speed.
Roger.
Following is a complete text of communique number 428, which is read for all interested parties. Paragraph 1. At about 0935 minus 9 today,
15 July, East Longitude date. A bombardment group comprising some of the most powerful battleships of the U.S. Pacific Fleet opened fire on the steelworks and other military objectives at the seaport city of Muroran, M-U-R-O-R-A-N, in southern Hokkaido, period. This action is continuing at the present time under the immediate tactical command of Rear Admiral O.C. Badger, B-A-D-G-E-R, U.S. Navy, period. The battleships engaged are in company with lighter units of the Pacific Fleet, which are also attacking objectives in the vicinity, period. Paragraph 2. Among the ships of the force now bombarding the port of Muroran are fast battleships, USS Iowa, USS Missouri, USS Wisconsin, destroyers, USS McGowan, that's spelled M-C-G-O-W-A-N, USS Norman Scott, and the USS Remy, spelled R-E-M-E-Y. That concludes St. Paul communique number 428.
Hello, KQJ.
Roger.
Yeah. Gordon Walker would
says that
I asked, but you tell Mutual that he'll be ready to go in 10 minutes. In other words, about 0300 if they wanted to.
Okay.
All right.
This is Gordon Walker reporting from Fleet Headquarters on Guam. American battleships have moved in again to the coast of Japan and are at this very moment shelling Japan's second largest steel producing center. A flash which has just come in from Admiral Halsey's third fleet somewhere off the northern coast of Japan states that the seaport city of Muroran on Hokkaido is the target. Three of our newest and biggest battleships, the Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin, are now taking part. A small force of three destroyers is also in close, lobbing their smaller shells into the city. Thus, for the second time in as many days, Admiral Halsey has flaunted his complete superiority and moved in so close to the Japanese coast that people on shore could see with their naked eye the might of America's Pacific Fleet. Muroran, which is the principal seaport city of Hokkaido in the home islands, is the iron and steel center of Hokkaido. Recently, the Japanese have been stepping up this production center as other areas have been smashed from the air. Muroran has a well-protected harbor and a big roadstead. At this moment, one-ton shells fired in salvos from the 27 big 16-inch guns of the three battleships are probably pulverizing Muroran and its steel mills. The fact that destroyers are also taking part in the bombardment means that at least some of our ships are in so close to shore that targets are easily visible to the naked eye. And the targets are certainly rich ones. Besides the steel mills, the big shells are falling in among such other industrial prizes as a synthetic oil plant, a shipyard, some machinery industries, and an electric power plant. It is certainly a big day out here for Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet. This is Gordon Walker, Piston Science Monitor correspondent, reporting from Fleet Headquarters on Guam. I return you to Mutual in the United States.
This is Jack Moon with Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet off the coast of Japan. I'm speaking to you from the super battleship off Hokkaido, the northernmost island of Japan. Once again this bleak, cold morning, the big guns of our battleships have blasted away in a history-making assault, continuing our heavy surface and air attacks against an enemy who doesn't know just where we're going to hit him next. I have just come from the open bridge of our ship, where I watched the island of Hokkaido, lying approximately 15 miles away, get its first naval bombardment in history. I had heard those Big 16 guns fired before on maneuver, but I assure you there is no real appreciating their terrific power and their tremendous destructive possibilities until you hear them explode in your face time after time during an actual bombardment. Our targets today, targets of such battleships as the USS Iowa, Wisconsin, and Missouri, were iron and steel works, and the synthetic petroleum plant of the Mitsubishi Company, located in the seaport town of Muroran on the southern coast of Hokkaido. The targets lay in a little basin just beyond hills lying the southeastern coast of the island. Our task force, consisting of cruisers and a destroyer screen, in addition to the battleships, made its run along the coast. For 58 minutes, beginning at 9:37 a.m., our big 16-inch guns bellowed away in salvos that ranged from 3 to 9 guns at a time. My ears are still ringing as I speak. I am still a bit on edge and anxious, anticipating another tremendous blast to knock me back on my heels or to jar my helmet strap up tighter under my chin. I was on a ladder when the first salvo from our guns burst into the slate-gray sky. The concussion of each salvo jars you no matter where you stand. I can vouch for that, for I spent a good deal of my time wandering around behind big, heavily armored positions, trying to avoid having my teeth shaken loose. It made little difference. We all rocked with the ship each time our giant guns belched forth another 10 tons of steel and destruction. More than 1,000 pounds of high explosive shells poured in on the dropped installations, while our carrier planes to the south stormed in over Hakodate and the northern bay area of Honshu, increasing the terror of their air attacks on shipping we discovered there during yesterday's dawn assault. Because the targets were hidden by hills, I could not see our shells exploding or any fire. Shortly after we opened fire, however, thin columns of smoke appeared over the crest of the hill. For the second straight day, we sent big units of our far-reaching fleet right in under the noses of the guns, and not a single enemy plane came out to attack us. We had no reports yet on what is going on to the south, but we can guess what gap air power the enemy might expend, if any at all, would certainly have plenty to do around the seaport of Hakodate. Just as we were finishing our bombardment, I saw a couple of Corsair planes from the strike force hitting Hakodate, Otaru, and other objectives to the south, make forced water landings. The planes had been damaged by anti-aircraft fire, and the pilots put them down on the ocean near two destroyers. Both pilots were promptly picked up. Here is the first flash report on air bombardment. It states that because of the extensive flames and smoke during the two possible targets, the iron and steel work, damage estimates are difficult. Our gunners report also that they received no change orders from our aerial observers over the island. I have one other report which states that our first salvo was just 100 yards off range, but thereafter, all of our devastating firepower landed right smack in the target area. As I speak to you now, our forces are withdrawing from the shores of Japan, and our gunners, observers, all the ship's company are busy removing their battle gear, taking the cotton out of their ears, and resuming their regular duties. And in his cabin, Rear Admiral Oscar C. Badger, USN, of Santa Barbara, California, commanding our bombardment group, is reading a message from Admiral William F. Halsey in overall command, which says simply, "Well done." This is Jack Kerr, speaking from a super battleship of Admiral Halsey's third fleet. I return you to